There was a time when Lil Wayne was declared himself the best rapper alive. And with more than a dozen top singles, fans didn't blink an eye at his hubris. Well, Lil Wayne's place in hip hop is undeniable. But that doesn't answer the reasons why he and several hip hop figures ended up on former President Donald Trump's list of pardons and commutations. To explore this question, we're joined by Sydney Madden. She's editor of NPR Music and host of Louder Than a Riot, a podcast that explores the intersection of hip hop and mass incarceration. Sydney, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So of the 143 names on this list of pardons, there was Lil Wayne, who was charged with felony gun possession, Kodak Black, a rapper who was serving a sentence for lying on a federal gun background check, Desiree Perez, the chief executive of JC's Roc Nation, and Michael Harris, founder of Death Row Records. He's been in prison for 30 years. Mm-hmm. What is the connection between these hip hop figures and Donald Trump?
The connections between hip hop and Donald Trump, it's always had a symbiotic relationship, and it's a bit ubiquitous how these names wound up on the list of pardons and official commutations from Trump. But there's a reason that Kodak Black and Lil Wayne's names really stick out here. They're both federal cases, and both parties, both Southern rappers, are rep by the same lawyer, Bradford Cohen, who is a former contestant on Donald Trump's, it seems so long ago, but yes, he was a reality star, everyone. His old reality show, The Apprentice. Yes, he was on the inaugural season. As you said, Wayne's federal case, it had to do with seizing of weapons from his private plane, a charge that he pleaded guilty to and faced up to a year and decade. But thanks to Trump's official pardon, he won't be serving any time. And in Kodak's case, it was about, as you said, falsifying info and things like name, age, who would be owning the gun, on paperwork to buy a gun, which he's been serving since 2019. Both these cases came to light on the last week of Trump's presidency, but they really culminated long, weeks-long, sometimes months-long campaigns, letter writing, people like Deion Sanders, Vanilla Ice, Lil Yachty, others in the hip-hop community and in the entertainment community went to bat for both of these rappers, writing letters talking about their community enrichment ideals, things like sponsoring young children's program. So they really painted both of these men in a favorable light in order to get these pardons and commutations through, seemingly at the last minute.
And you mentioned the other troubles of Kodak Black. He still faces a 2016 state charge of sexual assault in South Carolina. As part of your podcast, though, you explore the intersection of hip hop and mass incarceration. What was your first reaction to these pardons?
My initial reaction to these pardons was you just got to follow the money. You know, during Trump's campaign, he did kind of dole out a few key artists in the hip hop community who he thought would cull votes from Black America. Lil Wayne was someone who endorsed him. The Florida rapper Lil Pump, who Trump referred to as Lil Pimp, also endorsed him at a public rally. So I think the amount of eyebrows that this raised, it shows you that even if you're the biggest rapper alive, no one is above reproach if you're going to align yourself with someone who's been especially unkind to the Black community.
What does it say about Trump's view or perception of Black America that he chose these rappers and executives over the other untold number of perhaps more compelling cases with real evidence of innocence?
I think it says that he's actually really far out of touch with Black America. It's clear that Trump is not listening to the top 40 or has his finger on the pulse of hip hop culture, because if he did, he would know how much Kodak Black is actually not in hip hop's good graces right now. He would know how many people kind of disregarded Lil Wayne's endorsement of him during the election by and large. It doesn't really compute with where the culture is at this moment.
And within the music industry, how are people feeling about this? There are mixed feelings about this. Many view Trump as a problematic figure to be accepting this last-minute help from. Desiree Perez, CEO of Roc Nation, who was granted a full pardon for her crime, says she's thankful. But when she was asked how she feels about Donald Trump, she made a point to say she does not want to talk about her feelings about him or her politics at all. What are you hearing from segments of the hip-hop industry?
Absolutely. I mean, Trump's fraught relationship with hip hop and Black America at large. I mean, it's loomed for a long time before his presidency. But to that point, on the other side of the coin, people like Desiree Perez of Roc Nation had all but good things to say, but didn't want to say too much because he's just such a divisive figure. And yet, again, like I said, he has so much power that he can do these things like pardon. But I would say far and wide, most people in hip hop don't believe that these pardons or commutations do anything for hip hop at large.
That was Sydney Madden, editor at NPR Music and co-host of Louder Than a Riot, a podcast that explores the intersection of hip hop and mass incarceration. Sydney, thank you so much.
Thank you.